My name's Angela Motter, and the name of my CD is Pleasure and Pain.
Welcome to part two of my September show on transgendered artists. And this is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage. I'm opening with an artist I much respect, Angela Motter. Angela's first album, called Out of Control, was released in 1992, and the second, Pain and Pleasure, in 1999. And it won a Glamma Award for Out-Recording of the Year. Why is Angela on this show? Well, this very out artist has straddled gender terms for quite a while now. Here's a recent quote from Angela's MySpace blog. I've been a lesbian. I've been a dyke. I've been a daddy. I am a master. I am a man. I am female-bodied. I am a fag. I am genderqueer, trans, whatever the latest term. My gender, my role, how I identify, is revealed, presented, embraced, and reflected back to me by my choice of intimate companions. Probably the song that got the most attention was one called Is It a Boy, Is It a Girl? And I want to share with you a 1999 interview where that's discussed, along with many other areas. And I need to explain the structure of the interview. It was obtained for use on Audiophile, the monthly CD review segment carried by the radio news magazine This Way Out. I'm a co-producer of that segment, and in those days, many of those interviews were done by emailing a series of questions to an artist, and they would get someone to ask the questions while they recorded the answers, and then they would mail the tape back to us. So this is a 10-year-old tape, and the quality is not perfect, but I think well worth hearing. The interview started by Angela being asked, "How do you identify as in terms of gender identity?"
I think it's easier for me to say how I don't identify than what I do identify as in terms of my gender identity. I don't feel like I am 100% woman, and I don't feel like I am 100% man. I feel like I'm something in between. And I think I feel like a gentleman. I want to be a gentleman most of the time. I think that's what I'm most comfortable with at times. And I use the term boy-girl because it's fun and it has more of a sense of humor to it than, say, something like how Leslie Feinberg would define herself, which is as a masculine female. Which I like that too, but it's just not very rock and roll, you know? Masculine female. I like boy-girl much better.
Speaking of gender identity, do you think that this is a misunderstood issue in much of the gay and lesbian community?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's totally misunderstood. I think people start screaming at me if I said I'm attracted to femmes because they get all mad. It's like, well, how come everybody has to be in a box? I'm like, I just like femmes. I mean, there's a lot of different kind of women out there. And as far as gender identity, I think it's easier for people who have been in a relationship with me to understand my gender identity a lot more than it would be if I'm just walking down the street and somebody looks at me and they think, well, that's just another dyke. So gender identity doesn't always have to do with affectional identity. I like to go out with femmes. I also like other boy girls like me. So in a way, to me, even though it's a same-sex relationship, if I'm with a femme, because I'm a female-bodied person, it still feels like an opposite-sex relationship to me. If I'm with another boy-girl, someone who is more of a fag-type lesbian or dyke, if you want to call it that, another boy-girl, that feels like a same-sex relationship to me. I hope that makes sense. I don't know.
Please tell us more about any particular track of a CD which is an interesting story or is particularly meaningful to you.
Is It a Boy, Is It a Girl was really fun to do because my friend Ann Wilmot interviewed a bunch of people in her office. She works at WNET in New York in multimedia, and she had a promo picture of mine, which is, I guess, rather ambiguous looking. I guess I could go as a male or a female to a lot of people on the picture. So she showed the picture to folks and had them comment on it, just asking questions about this person and whether they thought it was a boy or a girl. Didn't come up because some of them just assumed I was a guy. So that was kind of interesting. She just had them riff on different topics like gender dysphoria. What does it mean to you? And we got some really great voices out of that tape. I love to listen to the straight girl talking about saying that her pajamas came out of the men's room, and what she was trying to say was that she buys her pajamas in the men's department, but for some reason she said her pajamas came out of the men's room, so we just had to put that little Freudian slip in there. And then, of course, the guy that at the very end, he's this very dapper Englishman that Anne has been interviewing, and he's talking about he-she's and stuff like that. And at the very end, she says, well, thank you. And he says, well, you're quite welcome. And he just sounds like such a fag, but he's just totally not. So I just love that because it really turns the whole concept of what is gay, what is a boy, what is a girl on its head.
The subject of today's lecture is gender dysphoria.
Summer afternoon, playing Who Would You Do? Come my turn, the pickings were slim, till I pointed at you. I said, see that slouchy thing in the baggy jeans and the attitude?
Hey, baby.
Waiting in line at the corner bumps for the women's room.
That's my big brother, and she can kick your butt.
Come my turn, this lady opens the door, points me here to you.
It's a disparaging term.
So here I am, no doors on the stalls, what can I do?
It makes them look cute.
Is it a boy? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it a boy?
Because they're all straight guys.
Angela Motter and the song Is It a Boy, Is It a Girl from 1999. And I loved those interview comments of Angela's from 1999 so much that I figured it would be worth updating them. So here's a new interview.
Well, I like the issues that not only in the song but in your blog that you comment on, because these are things that people aren't really talking about and I want people to think.
Yeah.
Okay, the way I wrote the question up, I have some really interesting interview comments from you from 10 years ago, and I wanted to find out where your thinking is now about where you fall on the gender transgender spectrum.
I really feel like I'm in the same place than I was during that interview, and I think the thing is there's still been an evolution in my gender expression outwardly, and right now I have a military cut, like a buzz cut, you know, high and tight. And when I got my hair cut this short, which is just the shortest it's ever been in my life, I found that I had some nervousness about being out there in public, because I got my hair cut and before all my kids came back in for school. It was during the summer, and I just didn't even think about what would happen when my kids came back, and I didn't even really think about what would happen when I went back to work, because I wasn't teaching a whole lot at that point. And I was really nervous, and it almost felt like, well, God, I'm like the king of being open about myself, and I've always been a person that wanted to put myself out there because I wanted to be a role model for other folks who felt the same way about their bodies and their life as I do. But I was really amazed that it made me even more nervous, and it made going to the bathroom even harder. And I stuck with the haircut for a while, and I really like it. But it was another level of coming out, another, deeper level of being trans or genderqueer.
You wrote me that you're kind of preferring to be called he.
Yes. It feels funny for me to be called she, much more now than it did then. I still had a problem with it when Pleasure and Pain was coming out. Before, I had a long-distance relationship with a woman in San Francisco, and this spanned about a year and a half, and I was hanging out at that time with some of the F2Ms who were coming out in the San Francisco scene, in like the leather scene and just in the regular scene. And the difference about them compared to other F2Ms who didn't really even identify themselves as F2Ms, I think that's probably a pretty recent word, they came out of the queer community, and they came out of that generation that just used queer as kind of an overarching definition. So they didn't feel like they had to leave the queer community because they were F2M. And I know of one person who is the brother of a friend of mine who's F2M, and he got, he did it and just kind of disappeared into the world as a straight man, and he didn't really want to make much, to do about it. And I know people today who are the same way, but that queerness was really being expressed then, and there was a lot of energy around it. So,
well, finding yourself doesn't mean you have to be an activist.
Correct. That's kind of an interesting way to put it. There's a lot of energy around, when you start, and this is just from the folks that I've talked to, friends, dear friends, and an ex-lover who's now an F2M. When you take that testosterone, it really changes your energy level, and it changes your energy in the world. And I think there's a lot of energy around that. You're basically going through puberty and menopause kind of at the same time. So there's just a lot of energy there. And I think nowadays people are more open about it and willing to share and compare notes as to what's happening to their bodies. But for me, I'm not going through that process. And, if I'm not careful, I'll feel marginalized by that energy.
You wrote another interesting thing that about language. And you said, in academia, the language keeps changing. And by the time it gets to common speech, it's a little different and maybe excludes.
Yeah, because when I was there and, traveling back and forth between Atlanta and San Francisco, I had a friend who was much like me, and he said at the time that he really wanted to just stay where he was. He didn't want to feel any need to change his body or take testosterone, and a lot of those folks refer to themselves as transgender, and, for me, meaning across gender lines, and he did end up taking hormones and makes a very fine-looking man. But that word transgender, it seems like, has gotten kind of not necessarily co-opted, because that has a derogatory term to me, but now, to me, like, F2Ms are considered transgender. And when I was growing up, transsexual meant somebody that was a cross-dresser, and then it became to mean somebody who actually had gender reassignment. So now I don't fall into the category of female-to-male transgendered or transsexual. So genderqueer has come up a lot. That's sort of the new academic term. It's probably not so new anymore, but that's a term that I can identify with just because there's nothing else. But there's also the underlying language, not problem, but I really view myself as a guy, and not, people want to be called man or whatever, I guess, when they're female to male, but I just feel like a guy. And so really the language in some ways doesn't affect me at all. I mean, if you want to call me genderqueer, that's fine. But if you want to call me he, that's awesome because it feels like just as much of an endearing term, you know, as a friend and just something that's a loving thing to say as it does an identification for me.
Do you think the word transgender is changing in that a while ago, several years ago, to me it was kind of like an umbrella term, and now it's maybe becoming more pure, more transsexual?
Yeah, that's my point, exactly, JD. Yeah, it's just, that's what I mean. These words come out, and, you know, I'm not saying they all originate from, you know, an academic perspective, but there's so much gender studies, queer studies. I mean, you can, it's called queer studies in colleges now and universities, and so those terms are talked about a lot. So, yes, I do believe that transgender has kind of come to mean as what you and I knew as transsexual. So where does that put me, you know?
Do you think the term gender dysphoria is changing?
I guess any kind of dysphoria has to do with, as I understand it, if I look at myself in the mirror and I don't see what's actually there. But from a philosophical standpoint, you know, who does? You know, I mean, it seems like dysphoria definitely, to me, has the impact when I hear it as being a disorder. And I don't feel like I have any kind of disorder.
That's where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Because if you look up gender dysphoria, almost immediately you see the word disorder.
Right. Yep. Well, it's definitely disorder society because people get pissed off around gender much more than they do when I was more of a perceived lesbian.
Is there a point you wanted to make that we haven't quite got to?
I think it's just for folks to be aware that when, I mean, this is, seems maybe a very funny thing for me to say at the end of an interview, but I think what comes up for me is just some understanding that it's really hard for me to do one basic thing in this world, which is go to the bathroom, without either scaring women or being afraid there's going to be some violence come to me. And that to, you know, have a little bit of understanding that's a very basic need, to go to the bathroom, and that's the level at which the anxiety is something that I do have to live with every day. And I'm not saying everybody has problems with that. I talked to one guy who's an F2M, and when he was transitioning, he said, I go into whatever bathroom I want. He didn't have any anxiety about that whatsoever. But I do, and if you can think about that, then that really shows the level of anxiety that a transgender or genderqueer person deals with every single day.
Tribe 8 had a song called Wrong Bathroom.
Yeah, and that was the impetus for Is It a Boy, Is It a Girl, you know?
Well, the two albums I have by you are terrific. I'd love to hear a third one.
Me too. There is one song called Making Love that I recorded a while back that you can listen to on my MySpace page. And I think that's the only place where you can get it right now. And Doria Roberts appears on it and some excellent, excellent musicians. So check it out. It's really a beautiful song.
I already grabbed it.
Yeah,
I'm going to play it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
what are you working on now musically?
I am working with a band called Sexual Side Effects. I'm playing bass for the band. Amber Taylor is the writer for that band, and hopefully we will be able to write some stuff together. But Amber is a male-to-female transgendered person, and she is awesome. We've really become fast friends, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's just a super rock and roll band with some really awesome, you know, a little different. It's got her sensibility of harmonics, chords, everything else is just really astounding. And I'm also working with a band called Jet Black Joy, and we're kind of on hiatus right now, but we're writing, and we'll be getting together and to try to see which direction that project will go in.
Are you on any of the Sexual Side Effects recordings that are on their site?
Not yet. We hopefully will be putting our own recording together with me playing the bass, you know, I'd say within the next year. And I'm playing a few solo gigs and still playing some of my stuff. I just don't have the money to record my own stuff right now. And I'm actually, to tell the truth, I'm much more interested in what's going on with these bands and with co-writing with Amber and with Emily Kate Boyd of Jet Black Joy.
Well, I opened part one of the show with the band The Sexual Side Effects, and Angela's Last Comet is the perfect intro for one more song by them. This one is called An Hour Ago.
Talked about the world as it revolved.
to see with your end in mind just what we had an hour ago.
Again from Atlanta, The Sexual Side Effects, and I would definitely look forward to their debut album. And I'm following them with an old Motown song. Those of you old enough might recognize that song as done by the Marvelettes in 1967, but the version you heard is brand new, done by one of my favorite transgendered artists, Veronica Klaus. I did an in-depth interview with her for my November 2005 show. She's released 3 albums and I can't wait for the next one. But I'm making do by playing for you that track, recorded live at the Duplex in New York City in April 2009. Courtesy of YouTube.
Down.
That was Canadian artist Ray Spoon. And the song Off the Grid Underground came from his 2008 album, Superior, You Are Inferior. Ray wrote me that the song was about being trans in a small town. Are you ready for some French transsexuals? They both transitioned in the late 50s and were great friends and both famous performers at Le Carousel and Madame Arthur's in Paris. The first is Marie-Pierre Iser, more known on stage as Bambi. She released 145 RPM record in 1958, which I wish I owned, as it's very rare, but I do have one song from it called Quand est bien, or That is Good.
Dans les bras d'une personne du sexe opposé, qu'on est bien dans ces bras-là. Qu'on est bien dans les bras d'une personne du genre qu'on n'a pas, qu'on est bien dans ces bras-là. C'est la vraie prière, la prochaine aime le prochain. C'est la vraie grammaire, le masculin s'accorde avec le féminin. Qu'on est bien dans les bras d'une personne du sexe opposé, qu'on est bien dans ces bras-là. Qu'on est bien dans les bras d'une personne du genre qu'on n'a pas, qu'on est bien dans ces bras-là. Certains jouent quand même les atouts de même couleur. Libre à eux, moi j'aime les valets pour les dames, les trèfles pour les cœurs. Qu'on est bien dans les bras d'une personne du sexe opposé, qu'on est bien dans ces bras-là. Qu'on est bien dans les bras d'une personne du genre qu'on n'a pas, qu'on est bien dans ces bras-là. Les creux pour les bosses, tout finit par se marier. Les bons pour les rosses, et même les colombes avec les éperviers. Qu'on est bien dans les bras d'une personne du sexe opposé, qu'on est bien dans ces bras-là.
Quand est bien by Bambi. She's still alive in her mid-70s now and retired a few years ago after working as a professor of literature in Cherbourg for 25 years. The other French artist I'm sharing with you was named Cousinel and was much more famous. The name Cousinel is French for ladybug. Hers was the first widely publicized sexual reassignment surgery in Europe, and she became a national celebrity and a well-known club singer, and appeared in several films. Like Bambi, she was extremely attractive and had sex symbol looks. She died in 2006 at age 75. She recorded a number of songs, and I thought it might be interesting for you to hear this one, done in French.
Ça c'est du nouveau. Je viens d'y penser. Je veux partir à ta conquête, New York, New York. J'ai comme un grand chaud au bout des souliers. J'ai mis de l'or à mes paillettes. New York, New York, je me sens reine dans ce temple de la musique. J'ai tous les rois de la ville dans le public. 100 000 bravos,
roule, croule de tous côtés. C'est toi qui claque, claque dans ma tête, mon vieux New York. Et si je sais, si je sais te plaire, c'est à la terre entière, que je plairai, New York, New York, New York, New York. Je me sens reine dans ce temple de la musique. J'ai tous les rois de la ville dans le public. Salut Broadway sous un ciel électrique. 100 000, 100 000, bravo! Croule, croule de tous côtés. C'est toi qui claque. Claque dans ma tête, mon vieux New York. Et si j'ai su vous plaire, c'est à la terre entière, que je plairai, New York, New York.
Cousinel and New York, New York, from I believe the late 60s. And I said that Cousinel was the most famous French transsexual. Well, Christine Jorgensen has that honor for the United States. She parlayed her celebrity into a nightclub act for many years and even released this very rare 45 RPM record in 1957 called Crazy Little Men, done in sort of the mode of some of the novelty records that were popular then. No, she could not be accused of being a great singer. But hey, this is a history show, so here's Crazy Little Men by Christine Jorgensen.
One love left me and said goodbye. I'm really blue, but I'm not gonna cry. I'm gonna take a crazy trip to see if I can't forget about the trip. I stopped me a planet flying Cadillac, told the driver to rack 'em back, head for space and get there soon. Than the moon, head there, driver, get there soon. The moon was really a swinging place, a place for lovers in outer space. Everybody danced with a crazy beat. I never, never heard such a shuffling of feet. I went right away to see the Moon King, told him about my heartbreak and everything. He said, my dear, I'll see what I can do.
We got some crazy little men here and you can get you one.
They called a meeting at the big square table, said we'll help you if we're able. The vote was a million and a half to one.
We got some crazy little men here and you can get you.
dishes, wash the coast. When you marry, you can't dance. There's no such thing as romance. You got to scrub the dishes, wash the coast. When you marry, you can't dance.
Okay, I got that out of my system. Next, I want to go to something very different, and it's brand new. From her debut album, Objectified, is Shauna Virago. Now, where else would you hear a song called Tranny Dominatrix?
I am a tranny dominatrix. I am a tranny dominatrix. I do it for the leather, I do it for the power, I do it for the pleasure of $2.50 an hour. I am a tranny dominatrix. I am a tranny dominatrix. I do it to teach boys their place. They look so cute in a collar and leash. I do it to fuck male supremacy. Now what's your my femininity? Yeah, yeah. Dominatrix. I am a tranny dominatrix. I do it to captains of industry and clean-cut pillars of morality. I do it to take them down a notch with their ass in a sling and my boot in the crotch. Yeah, yeah. My struggle ain't abstract. It's paying my bills and the clothes on my back. I do it cause I can work no 9 to 5. I won't do no blowjob line. Yeah, yeah.
This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, finishing up part two of my Transgendered Artist Show for September. And I especially want to thank Angela Motter for providing a unique opportunity to present sort of a dialogue on genderqueer thinking. You've obviously been listening to this segment from my website, so you already know there's a part three. I hope you find the time to check it out. I want to close this segment with a favorite trans artist of mine, Joshua Klipp. He gave me a delightful interview for my July 2007 show, and I closed that show with a song from his album Won't Stop Now called One Life. I wrote him recently asking if he had anything new he wanted to contribute to this show, and he sent me a remix of that song. It's the Jamie J. Sanchez remix, the version that made it to the Billboard charts. Here's One Life by Joshua Klipp.
Seems like yesterday, when I saw your face, got the news today,
you were gone.
It wasn't magic, just a smile in your eyes, thank you for seeing me,
the way